Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Means of Control, How the Hidden Alliance of Tech and Government is Creating a New American Surveillance State by journalist Byron Tao, is an investigative work of contemporary, political and technology nonfiction. It argues that modern American surveillance is not driven only by classified spy tools, but by a sprawling public-private ecosystem in which data brokers, advertisers, and major technology platforms collect detailed personal information and government agencies later obtain it, often by purchase rather than by warrant. Building on the post-9/11 expansion of intelligence and law enforcement powers, Tao describes how everyday digital exhaust from phones, apps, online advertising, connected devices, and consumer transactions can be transformed into intimate portraits of people's lives. The book's purpose is to show how this arrangement can sidestep traditional legal safeguards designed for direct government searches, and to make readers see the surveillance state as a market structure as much as a set of agencies. The result is a sobering account of how privacy erodes through ordinary consumer technology and opaque data markets. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, surveillance is a marketplace, not just a spy program. A central idea in Means of Control is that the most consequential surveillance is often hiding in plain sight inside commercial data flows. Rather than focusing only on dramatic images of hacking tools or clandestine wiretaps, Tao emphasizes how advertising technology and consumer analytics generate persistent tracking at scale. Apps, websites, and connected services collect location signals, device identifiers, browsing behavior, and purchase patterns because those details are valuable for marketing and profiling. Once collected, that data can be packaged by intermediaries and sold onward in ways ordinary users rarely understand. In this model, the government can become a customer in a vast bazaar of personal data, gaining access to information that resembles what investigators might otherwise seek through subpoenas or warrants. The implications are structural. The market incentives that drive surveillance capitalism also expand the practical reach of state monitoring. By reframing surveillance as an economic system with many participants, the book helps readers understand why the problem persists even when particular programs face scrutiny. It also clarifies why accountability is difficult when collection, aggregation, and access are distributed across many private actors. Secondly, post-9/11 expansion and the normalization of broad data access. Tao situates the current surveillance environment within the political and institutional shifts that followed the attacks of 9/11. In the years after, intelligence and law enforcement agencies prioritized speed, scale, and prevention, and new capabilities and partnerships proliferated. The book describes how a drive to connect dots encouraged the aggregation of more information about more people, and how technological change made that ambition easier to pursue. Over time, practices that began in the context of counterterrorism could influence how the state approaches other forms of investigation and monitoring. This matters because emergency-era logic can become permanent infrastructure databases, analytic tools, and vendor relationships often outlast the original crisis that justified them. Tao also stresses that many contemporary techniques rely less on extraordinary government collection and more on the ability to tap into private sector data reserves. As consumer technology became more pervasive, the state did not need to build every sensor itself. The broader takeaway is a warning about path dependency. Once a surveillance ecosystem matures, rolling it back is harder than limiting a single agency program, because the ecosystem is embedded in routine governance, contracting, and everyday commerce. Thirdly, legal loopholes and the gap between privacy ideals and digital reality. Means of Control highlights the tension between traditional privacy safeguards and modern data practices. Many legal protections and oversight mechanisms were designed around the idea of the government directly searching a person or seizing records from a clearly identified holder. Tao argues that this framework can be strained when personal information is widely shared, repeatedly resold, and technically owned by private entities whose business model depends on collecting and monetizing it. When agencies obtain data by purchase or through intermediaries, the transaction may bypass procedures that citizens associate with constitutional or statutory limits on surveillance. The book uses this mismatch to explain how broad access can expand without transparent public debate. It also underscores how complexity functions as a shield. Even motivated policymakers may struggle to track how data moves across brokers, platforms, contractors, and analytic services. The result is a practical erosion of privacy protections without a single clear moment of legislative change. Tao does not present the issue as an abstract legal puzzle, but as a real-world governance problem where rules, incentives, and technical systems interact in ways that make meaningful consent and meaningful oversight difficult to achieve. Fourthly, the digital dossier, how ordinary life becomes trackable. Another key topic is the way routine behavior can be reconstructed from data generated by ordinary technology use. Tao describes how phones and online services can reveal movement patterns, social connections, and consumer habits, creating dossiers that feel far more intrusive than most people expect. Even when individual data points seem harmless, aggregation over time can expose sensitive details, such as where someone sleeps, works, worships, seeks medical care, or spends time socially. The book's focus is not that every piece of data is perfectly precise, but that volume, persistence, and cross-linking can produce powerful inferences. This is why the concept of a digital panopticon resonates surveillance, becomes ambient, continuous, and hard to opt out of. Because participation in modern life often requires the same tools that generate traceable signals. Tao also stresses that the biggest risk is not limited to a single bad actor. A large ecosystem of collectors and buyers means more points of access, more chances for misuse, and more difficulty understanding who can see what. The chapter level effect is to make surveillance feel less like a distant state activity and more like a property of the connected world itself. Lastly, democratic accountability and comparisons to more authoritarian models. Tao warns that the United States can drift toward patterns of monitoring associated with more authoritarian systems. Even without adopting the same formal ideology or visible control apparatus, the comparison is not that the US is identical to China, but that the combination of ubiquitous data collection and state access can enable forms of social monitoring that threaten civil liberties. The danger is amplified when surveillance grows through contracts and commercial channels rather than through openly debated legislation. In that setting, the public may not know what is possible, what is being done, or what standards govern use. The book also raises the stakes by emphasizing that surveillance capabilities are often built for one purpose but can be repurposed for others. Especially in moments of political pressure, that potential makes questions of oversight, transparency, and limits urgent. By focusing on accountability, Tao connects technical issues to democratic ones. Privacy is not only an individual consumer preference, but a condition that affects free association, dissent, and the balance of power between citizens and the state. The message is a call to scrutiny of both government practices and the commercial systems that make those practices easier. In conclusion, Means of Control is best suited for readers who want to understand how surveillance works in practice in contemporary America, especially those interested in technology policy, civil liberties, national security, and the data broker economy. It is also valuable for general tech users who sense that tracking is pervasive, but have not seen a clear account of how commercial data collection can become government capability. The practical benefit is conceptual clarity. The book helps readers connect ad tech, mobile apps, data brokerage, and government procurement into one system, making it easier to evaluate policy proposals, news about surveillance programs, and claims about privacy protections. Intellectually, it reframes a familiar debate. Instead of treating surveillance as an exceptional activity performed only by intelligence agencies, Tao shows how surveillance can emerge from ordinary market incentives and be expanded through partnerships and purchases. That perspective helps explain why reforms aimed at a single agency or a single tool often feel insufficient, compared with earlier landmark discussions of the surveillance state. The book's distinguishing feature is its emphasis on the hidden public-private pipeline and on the idea that the state can buy what it once had to intercept. It stands out as a timely synthesis of technology, business, and governance in the digital age. If you would like to support Sean Patrick Hopkins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.